Chapter 2. Office of the Chief, Office of Organizational Analysis, Department of Homeland Security, the Nebraska Avenue Complex, Washington, D.C. 0745 hours, 4 September, 2005.
Good morning, Chief.
OOA Deputy Chief of Administration Agnes Forbeson greeted Castillo.
And hello again, Max. Where's your sweetheart?
That's right, Castillo said. You've met Max. Matekin is in the family way and resting at the Motel Monica Lewinsky. It's a long story.
What are you going to do with him?
I don't really know, Castillo admitted. He switched to Hungarian. Say hello to the nice lady, Max.
Max looked at him, then walked to Agnes, sat down and looked up at her.
Agnes scratched his ears.
What did you say to him?
I told him you had a pound of raw hamburger in your purse.
I don't, Max, Agnes said to him. But if you're going to be here for long, I'll pick some up at lunch.
She looked at Castillo.
Is he going to be here for long?
Castillo told her how he had come into temporary possession of Max. Agnes smiled and shook her head.
Well, maybe he's just what you need, Chief. Every boy should have a dog. And it looks to me that he's not all that upset about getting the boot from his happy home.
Max had returned to Castillo and was now sitting beside him, pressing his head against Castillo's leg. He's an excellent judge of character, Castillo said.
The intelligence community is gathering in the conference room, Agnes said. Is there anything you need besides a cup of coffee before you go in there?
She put action to her words by going to a coffee service on a credenza behind her desk and getting him a cup of coffee. Thank you, ma'am, Castillo said, and then asked, What do we hear from Jake Taurine?
He called 5 minutes ago, over one of those new radios you got in Vegas.
What did he have to say?
They just took off from Buenos Aires. That translates to mean that he'll be in Baltimore in about 10 hours.
I can't wait that long, Castillo said thoughtfully. And Jake will be beat when he gets here.
Wait that long for what?
I have to go to Fort Rucker.
You want to go commercial, which may be difficult because of the hurricane, or are you in your usual rush?
What's the other option? He asked as Dick Miller walked in.
OOA now has a contract with ExecuJet, who promised to provide service at the airport of your choice within an hour, then transport you to any airport of your choice within the United States in unparalleled luxury and comfort.
Two questions. Isn't that unparalleled luxury and comfort going to be painfully expensive? And how do you think, what did you say, ExecuJet feels about dogs?
Expensive, yes, but painfully, no. You did hear that there has been a substantial deposit to our account in the Caymans, right at $46 million?
Castillo nodded. Ill-gotten gains about to be spent on noble purposes, he said, mockingly solemn.
You're taking Max with you?
Until I figure out what to do with him. Maybe my grandmother would take care of him for me.
I don't think that's a viable option, Chief, she said dryly.
And I'll have to take one of the new radios and our Sergeant Niedermeyer with me. Dick can work the radio here until we can get some more communicators up here from Bragg. One more, Colonel, sir, Dick Miller said. Your faithful chief of staff is way ahead of you. We now have 4 communicators, 5 counting Sergeant Niedermeyer. General McNabb said to be sure to tell you how much he now deeply regrets ever having made your acquaintance.
I'll give ExecuJet a heads up, Agnes said. Max won't be a problem. When do you want to leave?
As soon as whatever happens in there is over, he said, nodding at the door to the conference room. First, I want to hit the commo room. There were 5 young men in the small room off Castillo's office, which had been taken over as the commo room. There was something about them that suggested the military, despite their civilian clothing, sports jackets and slacks, and their civilian haircuts. No one called attention, But the moment Castillo pushed open the door, all of them were on their feet and standing tall. "Good morning, Jamie," Castillo said to the young man closest to him, gesturing for the men to relax.
"Welcome home, Colonel,"
Sergeant James Jamie Niedermeyer said. Niedermeyer, just imported from the stockade at Bragg to run the OOA comma room, was a little shorter than Castillo, with wide shoulders, a strong, youthful face, and thoughtful eyes. "Thank you, Jamie. Unfortunately, I won't be staying. Got your bag packed?"
"Yes, sir."
"You don't have to leave our nation's capital, of course, Jamie. You could send one of these guys." Castillo put out his hand to the next closest of the young men. "My name is Castillo."
"Yes, sir. Sergeant First Class Pullman, Colonel."
As he repeated the process with the others, Max went to the near corner of the room and lay down, his eyes on Castillo and the room. "What do you guys think of our new radios?" Castillo asked. There was a chorus of "Outstanding, sir," and "First class, sir."
"We just talked to Colonel Taurine, sir," Niedermeyer said. "He was 5 minutes out of Buenos Aires."
"Mrs. Forbeson told me," Castillo said. "I guess Jamie has brought you up to speed on the new radios and what we're doing here?" Another chorus of "Yes, sir." "Anyone got any family problems?" "Girlfriend problems don't count. With working with us here and elsewhere for a while?" Another chorus, this time of "No, sir." "And everybody is on per diem, right? Which doesn't look like it's going to be enough for Washington." This time it was apparent that all of them were reluctant to complain. "Mrs. Forbeson will get you each an American Express credit card," Castillo said. "They will be paid by the Lorimer Charitable and Benevolent Fund, which understands the problems of a hardship assignment in Washington. Use them for everything. Meals, your rooms, laundry, everything but whiskey and wild women. Save your per diem for the whiskey and wild women. There's a threat to go along with that. Make any waves that call any attention whatever to what's going on here, and you will shortly afterward find yourself teaching would-be rangers how to eat snakes, rodents, and insects in the semi-tropical jungle swamps at Hurlburt. Everybody understand that?" That produced another chorus, this time with smiles, of "Yes, sir." "Okay. I'm glad to have you. I know that Vic D'Alessandro wouldn't have sent you if you weren't the best." He paused to let that sink in, then asked, "Questions?"
"Sir, what kind of a dog is that?"
"Max is a Bouvier de Flanders," Castillo said. "It has been reliably reported that one of his ancestors bit off one of Adolf Hitler's testicles during the First World War." That produced more smiles. "And you, Sergeant Phillips, are herewith appointed his temporary custodian. I've got to go sit around a table with some Washington bureaucrats, and I don't think Max would be welcome. Have we got anything we can use as a leash?" Phillips opened a drawer in the table holding the radios and came out with a coil of wire from which he quickly fashioned a leash. He handed it to Castillo, who looped it to the D-ring of Max's collar and then handed the end of it to Sergeant Phillips. "Max, you stay," Castillo said in Hungarian, and then switched back to English. "And while I'm gone, Jamie, make up your mind who's going with me." "Ever willing to make any sacrifice for the common good, Colonel," Niedermeyer said. "I will take that hardship upon myself."
"Your call, Jamie."
"Where are we going, sir?"
Niedermeyer said.
"Buenos Aires?"
"You like Buenos Aires, do you?"
"It is not what I would call a hardship assignment, sir."
"We're going to Rucker, Sergeant Niedermeyer. One more proof that a smart soldier never volunteers for anything." Castillo raised his arm in a gesture of "so long" and walked out of the radio room and into his office. Miller was sitting on the edge of his desk.
"They're waiting for you," he said, nodding toward the door to the conference room. "You want me to come along?"
"Please," Castillo said, and went to the door and opened it. Truman Ellsworth, a tall, silver-haired, rather elegant man in his 50s, was standing at a lectern set up at the head of the conference table. There were a dozen people sitting at the table, which had places for 20. There were perhaps twice that number sitting on chairs against the walls, obviously subordinates of the people at the table and not senior enough to be at the table.
The only person Castillo recognized was Milton Weiss. He was sitting near one end of the table, between a man and a woman, obviously the CIA delegation.